This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by PRMISeattle.com, primary residential mortgage. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
This is an interesting one. And by interesting, I mean it yet again highlights the absurdity, insanity, and so much more of the city of Seattle. 26-year-old man arrested in Seattle. That's not necessarily earth-shattering, although he was arrested.
Usually, 26, you say?
Yeah, I mean, we usually, in fairness, let these people go, not because cops don't want to make the arrest, they certainly do, but because not enough of them to get to a scene of a crime. Although in this case, they had a do-over of sorts, which is why this is an actual story. So this guy decided to return to the scene of a stabbing in order to shoplift. Only in Seattle can this happen, plus San Francisco, New York, Minneapolis, LA, and other cities that decided to defund the cops while simultaneously telling criminals that we're going to give you a pass. So only in Seattle and any other major Democrat-run city could this happen. Happened yesterday, about 12:30 or so. There was a robbery, attempted robbery at least, over at the Target on 2nd Street in downtown. This is a Target that I'm not joking. 9 out of 10 times when I drive by it on the way to the Fox News studio for my many hits as I'm a rising conservative voice in a sea of mediocrity, I rise to the top because I'm so great and people love my hair.
Did you say something?
Every time I drive by there, obviously I'm not driving, the driver drives me and he's told not to make eye contact with me or talk to me in any way, shape, or form unless it's to compliment me on my hair and brilliant opinion. Every time I'm driving, 9 out of 10 times at least, there is a cop outside of that Target. And by cop, I really should say multiple units responding. Almost every single time. It is remarkable. This is a dangerous area to run a business, to walk by, whatever. The guy goes in and allegedly tries to shoplift. A security guard tries to stop him, but ultimately pays the price.
The suspect was seen concealing items inside the store, and a store employee went to confront them to recover the items, at which point the suspect punched the store employee.
Punched him right in the face. And then, just for good measure, on the way out, he ends up stabbing someone in the back. Sergeant Randy Husarik with SPD was on with the Dory Monson Show.
The suspect, upon fleeing the store, randomly stabbed a person outside the store who was on the sidewalk.
Now, apparently that was an employee who was, I guess, taking a break. So police respond, couldn't find the guy, didn't know where he went. And I'm assuming the cops were there saying, okay, that's obviously not good. I wish we would have stopped him. This is a guy who clearly poses a threat. If only I could do this again, get just one more chance at catching this guy. I know I can do some good for the community. Well, about an hour later, the guy turns back to the Target. He returns to try to rob it again. This time as he flees, cops were able to find him a couple blocks away. So it turns out they got the guy after all. Ultimately, what's going to happen to him? I don't know. Restorative justice. Here's some art therapy. Something tells me it's not the first time he's robbed a place, allegedly, or maybe even the first time he allegedly stabbed someone. They don't give details on the stabbing. I'm assuming it was a technical stab, but it wasn't like a knife to the back doing significant harm. I feel like we would have learned more about that if that were the case. But if you're getting stabbed, whether it's a light stabbing or a deep stabbing, you're probably not happy. You're probably saying, well, I didn't want this to happen to me today.
Even like a metaphorical stabbing, like getting metaphorically stabbed in the back, that's never a good feeling.
Yeah, it's always a negative. Why does this happen? Why does the person go back to the scene of the crime to commit, or I should say recommit, one of the two crimes you had previously gotten in trouble for? Presumably, he did not realize that cops were called. Maybe this guy didn't think cops would show up. Maybe this guy didn't think it would be taken seriously because this is the city of Seattle where we do not take these things seriously. That guy would be correct in his assessment if that's what he thought. in a way, I don't blame him for thinking that. I think he's a degenerate. I think he should go to jail. What he did is obviously wrong and dangerous. Shame on him. I hope he spends time in jail, but he's probably not. I can't blame him for trying because he thinks he's going to get away because it's based on a history in which we let people off when they do these things. Let's be very clear about what it is we're talking about. These are people who feel empowered to commit acts of crime and violence like this because they never suffer consequences. It takes a lot for the Seattle City Attorney's Office or the King County Prosecutor's Office, depending on the level of crime, to actually charge. And ultimately, if it gets to felony level, guess what usually happens? Not always, but usually on cases like this. They plead down. Sometimes they plead down to lesser felony charges. Other times they plead down to misdemeanor charges. It is absurd, and it keeps happening and happening and happening some more. Of all of the races that can give us an immediate shift in the way we think about crime and punishment in the city of Seattle was the Seattle City Attorney's race. Ann Davison coming in. She was on the show last Friday, I think. She's someone who says she's going to prosecute the criminals who deserve to be prosecuted. I don't always think that everyone who breaks a law should be prosecuted. It depends on the circumstance. If it's some kid who stole a six-pack because he doesn't have an adult in his life who cares, I don't want to throw that kid in jail. I want to get that kid help. If it's someone who's stabbing people in the back so they can steal some cell phones from a Target or something so they could go sell them to then purchase drugs that they might be addicted to, I'll get you some help, but you're also doing jail time. You can get the help while you're in jail. There's some people that are deserving of our passion and are deserving of a second chance, and maybe even a third chance. There are also people who are undeserving of any of that. And the city of Seattle for the longest time has said, everyone deserves endless chances. And then this happens. And it'll happen again and again and again some more until, thankfully, Ann Davison is able to do her job. I'm not expecting an overnight change. To change culture, it's going to take a while. You can send a message very quickly, but still there's going to be a ramp up to get to where we need to go. In a lot of ways, this is all like losing weight, going on a diet. It takes you 3, 4, 5 months, and you're all like, I lost 7 pounds. Then you go on an overnight stay in San Diego for work. You went to a restaurant, you had some drinks, and then the next day you gained 12 pounds. Took you 24 hours to put on those 12 pounds. Took you 4 or 5 months to lose 7. That's how I think of it in terms of Seattle. That's how I think about in terms of changing this kind of culture. It's going to just in reverse. It's very easy to shift things and lose control, to overindulge and put on the weight. But it takes months and months and months of actually sticking to a regimen and changing habits. And you'll start to see the change slowly. And if you stick to it, it's going to be really, really good. But if you don't, bam, it's bad. And right now, with the Seattle City Attorney's race, unlike with the mayor, because the mayor still doesn't have power, unlike the council race, because the council is still run by anti-police folks, it's going to take some time. But this will happen faster if we stick to it. It's not going to happen that fast, and we have to be very much aware of that reality. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Some good news for folks who live in D.C., as it relates to the mask mandate. What can we learn about wearing masks or not wearing masks from D.C.? We'll tell you when we come back. But find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
The D.C. mask mandate, the indoor one, one of the strictest in the nation outside of Washington, our Washington, they are finally getting rid of them. They're relaxing their indoor mask mandate starting on Monday. That, according to the mayor, Muriel Bowser. She just made that announcement. According to the Washington Post, they say while cases remain stubbornly above an average of 10 new cases per day for every 100,000 residents, vaccines are preventing most people who catch the virus from needing hospitalization. That means it's time to let residents choose whether to wear masks in their office buildings, retail stores, and many other settings, Bowser said. Local businesses can still choose to require masks, but it will not be legally required. Now, in some circumstances, you still have to do it. They're still saying to wear them on metro trains or buses. And if you're in government buildings and public schools, that part makes no sense whatsoever. But again, it's better than having a hardcore all-in mask mandate. The reason why they gave makes total sense, does it not? It makes total sense. We have a high vaccination rate. The people who are getting COVID aren't getting seriously ill. It's just like the flu. It's the flu season, but with COVID. We would prefer no one get COVID, but we understand it is a part of life. But they're not getting seriously ill and they're not going to the hospital, let alone dying. We can let up on the masks. Why is it that in the state of Washington, we're not even having a conversation about getting rid of the mask mandate? We are not even having that conversation. That topic is not coming up at all. The only thing we're getting are more mandates, forcing people into vaccinations. Seattle, King County, public health. We are at a 90% plus vaccination rate. 90% of the county that has all of these extra rules like a vaccine passport have at least one of the shots. People who get one shot almost always get the second shot. When you look at just fully vaccinated folks, the ones who went through all two shots, we're something like 83 or 84%, which is just a little bit higher than the statewide rate. Why aren't we getting rid of our mask mandate? Why are we not even having a conversation about the mask mandate? Did you know that in Washington state, our hospitalization rate is down significantly? I know a lot of folks don't really like talking about it, even though it's good news.
We are better, actually pretty significantly better.
Significantly better, says the Washington Hospital Association CEO, Cassie Sauer. Our COVID hospitalizations are down 12% in just a week.
In addition, we're seeing a decline of people on ventilators. And we now have 120 patients on ventilators, which is a 29% decline in the last week.
It's so weird. That sounds like good news. Is it being promoted in any meaningful way? Have you seen that on the news? I see when we have a surge of cases on the news all the time. The surge has many people very concerned as to whether or not our hospitals will be overrun. No, we're not yet seeing it. Yes, we do have that one hospital that has 12 patients that are COVID out of 122 beds, but the number was 2 before. That's a huge increase. I'm hearing that stuff all the time. How bizarre. So what is it in D.C.? Maybe the virus works differently there. It's possible, right?
It's like the bagels where it's in the water.
Yeah,
you know,
like
New York bagels.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think you could have gone with a more D.C. appropriate metaphor. But I mean, I'm, yes.
Well, it's a food appropriate producer Peyton metaphor.
Yeah, you're always thinking about food.
Of course I am.
But you're right. You're right. The bagels in New York are much better.
I'm pulling that. You said I'm right.
On food, I'll give you benefit of the doubt usually. No conversation. Not even the promise of, you know, hang tight. We're in the right direction. We're getting really close to going back to someone. No. All we hear is we're probably going to have to do more mandates, even though our numbers are really, really good. We like having this kind of control over you. Huh. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
The Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas had a hearing today in front of a Senate committee, one that was postponed because he got COVID. Seems fine now. It's weird. He must have been one of those breakthrough cases we're told is incredibly rare. And he loves the work he's doing at the border. It is remarkable. I mean, to you and I, we see hundreds of thousands of people streaming across the border, including ones who were the victims of sexual assault along the way. We're seeing kids in record number going and making the journey alone across the border, sometimes just being left in the middle of nowhere, Texas. We see people are coming into this country with COVID, and remember, we're supposed to be super concerned about it, but just being released. And Secretary Mayorkas is all like, I'm killing it. I am killing it. There's never been a better secretary.
Senator, I'm a tough grader on myself, and I give myself an A for effort, investment, okay, in mission, and support of our workforce.
An A for effort. I failed, but I tried really hard. That means you're incompetent, dude. I tried really hard on that test. I didn't get a single correct answer, but I studied really hard. You're not studying the right way. You need extra studying. Did you really study? I've got many questions. You think you did good because you worked hard but failed? That might work when you're in kindergarten. I worked really hard to keep the colors in between the lines as I was drawing. That used to be a good example, but now they have adult coloring books, so Mayorkas might be like, I also tried. I'm a little outside of the lines, but I'm trying my best.
He tries. He doesn't always succeed, but he gives a good, valiant effort.
He didn't break a smile during that. He didn't sort of do a wink and a nod like, we all know it's a total mess, but I'm going to be. A for effort. I showed up. Give me my participation trophy. Oh, okay. Did you win a game this entire season? No, but we showed up to every game and we tried our hardest. Did you ever have a game that didn't end with the mercy rule by fourth inning or sixth inning because you were losing by 10? No, but we showed up. Look at my uniform, not a grass stain on it. It's because you never really made it to even first base. Just throwing that out there. A for effort. Shut up.
Okay. Do you think you're doing a better job in the Trump administration?
Senator, I believe in the policies that we are putting forward, and I condemn a number of the policies that were promulgated in the prior administration.
So you think we have more control over the border now than we did under Trump?
Senator, we're very focused on the
That's not the question. You'd be focused. Do you think we have more control over the border now than we did under the last administration?
I think we have more control that is consistent with our values as a nation.
Yes, our values as a nation of open borders. That's really what he means. We don't want to close the borders. And so by that standard, we're a huge success. Look at all the people who are coming into this country. And what was the most maddening in all of this was, this is just a lie. I want you to listen to this exchange between the secretary and Senator Ted Cruz.
How many children have been in the Biden cages in calendar year 2021?
Senator, I respectfully disagree with your use of the term cages.
Fine, you can disagree with it. How many children have been in the Biden cages? I've been to the Biden cages. I've seen the Biden cages. How many children have you detained at the Donna Tent facility in the cages you built to hold kids? How many children have been in those cages?
Senator, I can provide to you the following figure that
it's a simple question. How many children have been in those cages?
I respectfully am not familiar with the term cages.
Cages? What cages? I've never heard of this thing. Cages? You mean the Trump cages? Well, we don't have Trump cages at the border, obviously, because Biden's president now. Oh, they're the same facilities? Yeah, but we don't call them that. I'm not familiar with immigration? What is this? I don't quite understand. What does that mean? Barter? Like barter at the southern barter? We trade things with people? No, border, sir. I'm unfamiliar with this. Could you use it in a sentence? Sure. You have no control over the southern border. Can I get etymology? I don't understand. He said this while testifying at a... Does anyone actually think he's never heard of the term cages at the border? I mean, it was his party that used that smear for how many months? Could someone check to see if he's ever seen the AOC tape where she pretends to be crying outside of an empty parking lot that just was fenced in? I can't. You got kids in cages. You weren't paying attention during that entire news cycle? The months-long cycle? But when you're using the exact same tools, by the way, that the first administration that Biden was a part of, the Obama-Biden administration, had. Except your numbers are worse than Trump's. And all of a sudden, cage? What is this cage you speak of? Seriously. Come on. I cannot be... I'm not crazy.
Oh, no. You're not crazy.
K... What cages?
You say K as in what in Spanish?
K, cages. I don't know how to say cages in Spanish.
I don't know either.
It's a sexist language anyway, I'm told by the left. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Just a quick note. The jury from the Rittenhouse trial is done for the night. No verdict tonight. Perhaps tomorrow we'll see. Obviously, when that happens, we'll be covering it live.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Wait a minute, is that clock right? What time is it?
I mean, it's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon.
That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, because let's be honest, the media is already hyper-focused on Seattle. Instead, we focus our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Tacoma. And it's one of those stories where I see such potential. Yes, an apparent con artist, but I see such potential that is wasted. Where a woman who met people online convinced them to give her more than $550,000 over the span of about 3 years. This according to Como TV. Sabrina Taylor, 40 years old, is being charged with four counts of wire fraud after officials say she lied about health, employment status, and her education in order to get money. Court documents say that she convinced people whom she met with online through interests like Japanese anime. Were you on the list?
I was not. Not the biggest anime guy.
Comic books or video games. She went after nerds. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They could have just said she went after nerds and I would have been like, oh, so she was talking about anime, video games, and comic books. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, two in the same.
You know how sometimes they say houseless instead of the homeless? This is the
this is that for nerds.
This is the version of, instead of saying nerds, they think they're doing them a favor by saying individuals with an interest in anime, video games, and comic books whom also can't engage in any sort of sexual relationship with people that they're attracted to.
Wow, that's the nerds just became virgins too.
Well, I thought that goes without saying. Court documents say this happened between November 2016 and July 2019. She allegedly convinced these people to give her money when she said she would need medicine for her multiple sclerosis or to pay college tuition at the UW or to bail her brother out of jail. However, investigators said she didn't have multiple sclerosis, she wasn't in college, and her brother wasn't in jail. She allegedly told the victims how she would repay them. She lied about employment. She said a bank had a settlement with her coming soon and claimed her parents would help them as well. Now, if guilty, she could face 20 years in prison for each charge. She's not spending 80 years in prison. Let's relax on that one. I look at something like this and I always wonder, for her to be able to pull this off, to be successful at it, and $550,000, they didn't tell us how many victims there were. I'm assuming there were a handful who just forked over a lot of money. There's obviously some talent there, right? She's got skills that she could use for good.
Oh, for sure.
She is able to communicate effectively. They're all lies, but the communication part is obviously there. She's got a creative mind.
She's a leader. She got people to buy into her system.
And there is value in that in the real world, without having to commit a crime. In fact, there's value there without having to commit a crime, but also stealing in a way, right? You can convince someone to give you money with a story that could be based in a truth rather than just completely being made up. And yet she decided to go down the road of just making stuff up. It's interesting to me.
But she's got great qualities.
I'm not even making that as a joke. It's interesting to me that she has to assume that she's good at something. In this case, she's using it for evil, but she must know that she's good at it because she's seeing the results. What is it about her that she wasn't, assuming she did this because it's just an allegation, but assuming that it's true, what is it about an individual that they can't say, huh, I've got some level of talent here, I'm going to put it to use in a non unethical way or criminal way. Right? Because I imagine there were a lot of really talented people. I am a great talent. Everyone says that. They say, and I always say, relax, just stop. I don't like it when people praise me like this. I am but a humble person. I'm decent at what I do, but you don't have to tell me how amazing I am every single moment of every single day. I imagine that I could convince people to give me money for a bunch of things. Right? I can just make up stories. I can tell people about the time that I recently broke my leg.
You broke your leg?
That's why I've been running around with a little bit of a limp. It's broken.
Wow, you're so strong.
I am strong. Unfortunately, I am a little behind on some bills, and I'm not able to pay for them. Yeah, sure, I set up this GoFundMe account. Believe me, don't feel bad for me. If you want to go to GoFundMe and give me a whole bunch of money, I'm obviously, I'd be humbled by that. But just don't feel bad for me. At some point, it'll probably have to be amputated because of the infection. I mean, I'm looking at the bone that's sticking out right now. I wish I could afford to do it, but don't, like, I could do something like that.
Yeah, of course you could.
It also makes me wonder about everything on GoFundMe.
I am always so skeptical of GoFundMe, and yet I keep throwing money at it. I'm like, oh, these people need some funds.
Yeah, I kind of do the same. It depends. If I know someone who's maybe connected to it, or it's vetted by a third party, not by King 5. If they include a link to a GoFundMe page on King 5, I'm assuming it's a scam. But anybody else, I'm all kind of in usually, and I'll also give some money. Obviously, I'll put my name attached to it. So
yeah, of course. I mean, Jason Rantz donated, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, don't forget to tune
thousands
into the
of dollars.
Show from 3 to 6. No, thousands. I'll give you a 20 maybe. When I'm really cheap, I won't put my name.
You put my name.
Peyton's name. Peyton gave $20. Not enough Latinos are being elected to the school board in Pasco. So a Latino candidate who lost sued several years ago. I think it was back in 2015, 2016. And the allegation here was that against the Voting Rights Act, you're basically diluting the Latino community and they're not being represented. So we're now seeing a resolution in the form of gerrymandering. So right now, all five members of the board are elected as at-large candidates, meaning they're running for the entire district and everybody can vote for them. And so under any of the proposals that are currently being discussed, three of the five spots would be elected by districts. Districts that are drawn to ensure that the Latino population pick someone who they think better represents them. In a lot of ways, this is a wholly contrived issue, and it's everything that's wrong with identity politics. Now, the reason this got to the courts was because of the Voting Rights Act, and they made this claim that simply because someone doesn't look like me, it means my vote is somehow being diluted. What they say is that you've got the majority of this county, or city, excuse me, is represented by Latinos. They make up the largest percentage of the population. And if you look at the board, there's only one Latino. So that must mean that the Latino voters are having their votes diluted, because when you've got a whole bunch of Latinos who are running, well, I mean, you might not give it to the right. You might be confused. It is, of course, ludicrous. They're saying that it's diluted because there's not enough people who look like them. That is wrong. Tell me what's better for the Latino community. A white dude, an Asian lady, a black guy who represents all of their wishes. If they were a monolithic group and they all held one position, if that person represented to a T what they stood for versus the Latino who doesn't, who is a better suit to meet the needs and demands of the Latino community?
Option A.
The non-Latino. But we assume because someone looks like them that it means they represent them. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. There are plenty of candidates out there who are running who look like you, but you're not voting for them because of the things that they say, the things that they believe. We're being told that a school board has to look like you, not think like the community wants you to think and vote the way the community wants you to vote. Just simply look like the community. One of the biggest lies that we're being told is that a government, a business, an agency, a fire department, they have to look like the community. Except I argue when you call 911 and your house is on fire or someone is dying in front of you and you want someone to come and help, when you call 911 and they say, okay, help is on the way, do you say, oh, just real quick, before you send over that paramedic, can you double check to make sure they're Jewish? Because I just, you probably couldn't tell from my voice. I'm a Jew. I would just, could you just make sure, sir, I don't know who's coming. I've got engine 14 on the way. I've got the aid unit coming. Just quickly, just get on the radio real quick and just ask if they're a Jew. Sir, you said someone's dying in your but I mean, he would want a Jew to work on him. We won't try. If you send a black medic, if you send just a goyim over, give me a white Christian, it's just not going to feel right. I might not trust it. Does anyone do that? Of course not. You want someone who is qualified to get the job done, who will help you in your time of need. And yet we're told it matters that they look like you. Imagine the ambulance pulling up. Sorry, I asked for a Jew. I asked for a black guy. I asked for an Asian who looks Latino. If it's not Peyton, I'm not going to be able to accept your offer of services. Sir, your mother is having a heart attack. I'm staring at her screaming for help. Come back when you look like us.
See, I'm never going to have representation in this.
You're screwed.
And I can't ask somebody. I can't ask, a Latino-looking guy and say, hey, do you have any Japanese in you at all? No? Okay, next. I can't say that.
Put that defibrillator away. I'm only to be touched by Asian hands. I haven't seen a single substantive complaint being reported on. I've seen a Latino candidate complain that she didn't win. And she expected to because you've got 50%+ Latino community. This is wrong. It's wrong. And it's sending the wrong message to kids especially, but they don't care. I want you to look like me because we're woke. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Every once in a while, if I'm in a mood, I will force producer Peyton to watch The View. And it's not fun anymore because Meghan McCain's not there to trigger the rest of the panel by simply existing. Meghan McCain, who, by the way, is going to be on the show tomorrow. And we'll get some dirt, go behind the scenes of some of the interactions she's had to endure with people like Joy Behar. But something today happened. A former conservative from The View was on. She's got a new book out, Jedediah Bila, and they got into the conversation about the vaccine and mandates, and turns out Jedediah is not vaccinated, so they wouldn't allow her to go on to the set because they have a vaccine passport system in place. It's my understanding you can't just show even a negative test or the fact, like Jedediah, that she has natural immunity. So first, she explained why she is not vaccinated, and it got into a conversation about why she's against the mandates.
I have a medical exemption to the vaccine that's been written by my infectious disease vaccinated specialist in New York City that's been co-signed by three other doctors. I'm not a candidate for this vaccine. I also have sky-high, multi-tiered, multifaceted natural immunity, very, very high, that has also been proven, it has been shown, and it is substantiated by letters from these doctors. So for me personally, this vaccine poses a greater risk than a benefit. I'm also not a risk to any of you. I know there's been a lot of debate about that, but I have these doctors who've gone on record with that as well. So my point about all of this is that I am not anti-vax. What I really want is for people to make these decisions for themselves. I want every one of you to sit with your family members, to sit with your trusted doctors, and to say, what is the best decision for me?
Whoopi sounds like a 13-year-old dog in the background.
Did you just hear that? She said she wants it to be up to us. I mean, I made the right decision, but of course, not everyone is as smart as me. Not everyone will make the right decisions. And by right, I mean the decision I want them. Okay. Then, of course, it devolved because she had the audacity to say that people should have the right to make up their own minds on medical decisions, which is weird because when it comes to aborting a child, they're all in, the ladies at The View. Go ahead, abort away. Have two while you're there. It's not quite how it works. Thank you, Whoopi. So Sonny Hostin, TV's dumbest lawyer, got involved, and she accused Jedediah of spreading misinformation. I'm not entirely sure what the misinformation is, but let's see if we can spot it.
I'm not opposed to the vaccine, you know, but I am opposed to the mandate 100% on the grounds of science.
People have died from COVID, including Manny's in-laws. And we've been friends a long time, but Manny's parents, I just don't understand why you would choose to prioritize your personal freedom over health and safety of others. And so
Because, dumb, your health and safety isn't at risk. Sonny Hostin, who, even though it turned out to be a false positive, vaccinated, but ended up getting that false positive COVID case, right? You know why everyone thought it was real? Because people who are vaccinated can still get and spread COVID. You can still get and spread COVID. I don't know why you would be all about the whole, like, personal rights and freedoms. I mean, I'm a lawyer. I know a thing or two about... Oh, wait, no. I should probably not say that. It's so weird. You know, the safety of others is so much more important than your freedoms, except for when it comes to an aborted child, then we don't really care about that person's rights and safety. But other than that, please. This is the equivalent of no guns for you. How dare you? What about safety of people around you? We don't know if you're trained enough to have a gun. What if you might pull your gun at? Well, that's a bad example because my private security that's actually armed will end up going after you. But what about someone else? It is a ridiculous position that she's taking, but still haven't heard any of the misinformation that she's about to claim.
Personal freedom over health and safety of others. So and I just really don't think that we should allow this kind of misinformation. We've had the United States Surgeon General debunk.
Yes, I heard what he said.
Everything that you've just said.
No,
and
we didn't.
I just don't think we should
so
allow
the
this kind
General,
of misinformation
of all,
on our air.
It is misinformation to say that people should have the right to choose a vaccine. It's misinformation. What do you mean it's misinformation? I watched the whole interview, this portion of the interview. There was no misinformation. She never said that she never even said there are other people like me who are immune to this for whatever reason she says she's immune. She never even said that. We played almost every single syllable that came out of her mouth before Sonny Hostin claims that there was misinformation. What you mean to say is you don't like when someone has a different opinion than you and she should not be able to say it. That's really what Sonny Hostin means. A lawyer who doesn't understand the term misinformation or disinformation, she has no clue what it is she's talking about. And for any lawyer to go out there and say that we shouldn't care about your personal freedoms, how about this? We shouldn't care about the personal freedoms of the individuals who are out there chanting BLM slogans and marching, because what if someone were to accidentally hit them with a car? Because they are going out on a road. We should probably stop the protesters from having the right to march, you know, just out of caution. Just out of sense of caution. In fact, some of them weren't wearing masks. I know they're outdoors, but I mean, misinformation. Let's pretend that you can get COVID outside. We should not allow them to. This is ridiculous. And of course, she knows it's ridiculous.
First of all, I'm really sorry. Sonny, first of all, I would say to you as a friend, what I just said to you is I am prioritizing my health. And people talk about the common
over
good.
The health and safety
of other
people.
You're not going to have a common good if you're not prioritizing your own health.
Yeah, it's less than 1% death rate for COVID. Just throwing that out there. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text, still to come. King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn is trying to refund the police. Why is he trying to do that in King County? Is that actually going to work? I don't know. Hopefully he's able to get that done. Plus, Detective Henry Betts, Local 6 Union President out of Tacoma PD, on the search for the next Tacoma police chief.